That's the end of the first half. As the teams head to the locker room, the Spartans lead the Bulldogs by a score.
You guys stink.
Jeez, Coach, we're only down a couple of points.
No, I mean you guys really smell. You need to hit the showers. And here, I got every one of you new bars of soap from the Sterling Soap Company. Each bar is artisan crafted using natural ingredients and essential oils. They also have shave soaps, colognes, beard balm, and a whole lot more. Now get in there.
But Coach, we have another half to play.
I don't care. I can't stand to be around you.
A few minutes later.
All right, bring it in tight. You guys are still playing terrible, but you're smelling great out there. Now listen, you're going to need to stock up for the rest of the season. We got a lot of tough games left. So go to sterlingsoap.com after the game. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com. You got that?
Yes, Coach.
Great. sterlingsoap.com on three. One, two, three.
sterlingsoap.com.
Let's travel back some 96 years ago into the National Football League season of the champion Green Bay Packers, a season that was unforgettable for their first championship, but kind of forgettable at the end when they took a loss. How can an undefeated team have a loss? We'll have that and more coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time.
Before we get into our episode today, let's take the time to drill that football right into the like and subscribe button on your console so you know exactly when the notifications come up of the latest releases of Pigskin Dispatch podcast for some more great football history. Now on to our episode. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pig Pen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to another edition where we go back in time. 96 years ago from this date, December 15th, 1929, and the Green Bay Packers were fresh off a National Football League championship. Remember, back before 1932 and earlier, the first dozen years of the NFL, the champions of the National Football League were the team with the best records when the season ended. Well, the season ended shortly before December 15th. The Green Bay Packers were 12-0-1, and they were spectacular. Curly Lambeau's team was just phenomenal. They had their first five games. Only 4 points had been scored against them, and that was two safeties. So they were playing some good defense. They were outscoring everybody. They had 8 shutouts during the whole season, and that included a 0-0 tie, their only blemish on that 12-0-1 record. So how could a team that was 12-0-1 be declared the National Football League champions suffer a loss? Well, that's what we're going to get to at the story of today, and we'll do that right after this message. Looking for something to do to have fun in between your favorite team playing some games? Well, join us at pigskindispatch.com to join in all the fun, take in all the history, and preserve the pigskin past. We have tons to do at pigskindispatch.com, including our Pigskin Dispatch store that has our books and many other items that you might want to enjoy for your football fandom. Come join us, pigskindispatch.com. Remember, 1929 was the year that the Packers went 12-0-1. They were just a dominant team, had 8 shutout victories, 8 shutouts, I guess, altogether. 7 of those were victories. 1 was a 0-0 tie. Their only blemish on that record of slate. The first 5 games, only 4 points were scored against them, and that was 2 safeties. The rest of the year, no other team as an opponent could score more than 6 points against the Packers during the National Football League season. So the early December, the National Football League season was over, and the Packers were declared champions by virtue of having the best record, because that's how the champions were crowned back before 1932, when the teams with the best record would be the National Football League champions for the first dozen or so years of the league. So what was common in this 1920s era in particular, especially after Red Grange and the Chicago Bears did a great barnstorming tour in 1925, just 4 years earlier, was they would play exhibition games to make a little bit of extra money for the players. 1929 was an important year because just 2 months earlier, at the end of October, the Wall Street crash happened and the start of the Great Depression happened on that Black Friday. And people all around the country and around the world were suffering some financial dire straits. And one of the things that they were giving up was most likely going to football games. And the team suffered a little bit by that, the National Football League teams, especially the players, because they got part of the gate as their pay. And when they weren't getting paid, there's nothing going in their pockets to feed their families and pay for their expenses of most of them being away from home playing at the cities they're playing in, including the Packers. But they played for the love of the game and hope to make more money in some exhibition games. So the Packers and their great coach, Curly Lambeau, decided to schedule some exhibition games. And one team was an independent team down in Memphis, Tennessee, that was headed and funded by a man named Clarence Saunders. Clarence Saunders would go on to found the Piggly Wiggly grocery store chain. And anybody that lives south of the Mason-Dixon line probably has been in a Piggly Wiggly and bought a few things of produce or groceries at that store to feed your family. But you know, Clarence back then, he was just some independent things, was a wealthy business owner. And one of his business interests was his football team that was doing quite well as an independent. They were 10-1 at this point on December 15th, 1929, coming into the game. Their only loss was against the Chicago Bears and Red Grange, who were doing some exhibition games themselves at the end of that season. Well, after that loss to the Bears, Saunders decided he was going to get some reinforcements from some other National Football League teams. And that included Ken Strong, played for the Staten Island Stapletons, later would be known as one of the great New York Giants. Doug Wyckoff and Red Strader, among others, would come on and join the team. Only three members of the Memphis Tigers independent team that played against the Bears a few weeks earlier were playing against the National Football League champion Packers. And the Packers really didn't know what hit them because it went into a scoreless tie at halftime. Neither team could really move the ball much. And then the Packers were sort of stunned in the second quarter when the Memphis Tigers took the lead. National Football League teams couldn't score more than 6 points against them. But this team of, Saunders guys came out and really did some damage. Player by name of Austin Applewhite was the first one to score for the Tigers when he crossed the goal line in the third quarter, and the Packers and the crowd were all stunned as the Memphis Tigers went up on the Green Bay Packers with that 7-0. And then Tiny Drolet, another Memphis player, added to the conviction with another touchdown just a few minutes later, and three scores altogether had the Tigers up 20-0. And it got down to only like 2 minutes left. Darkness was settling in. The teams were thinking about folding the game. The officials are going to call the game. And that's when Johnny Blood ended up being part of a scoring drive that put the Packers on the board to at least avoid total embarrassment of a shutout. But the Memphis Tigers won this game 20-6. And, so you have a team that was undefeated, National Football League champions, put their reputation on the line, and that just to make a couple of bucks for themselves and their family, because that's the way things were back in professional football. And then they would all go off to their normal jobs in the off season for whatever they did. Some even played other professional sports. But they had to make a little bit of money playing football, and traveling on these barnstorming tours was one way to do that and get the chance to see other parts of the country maybe they didn't get a chance to see before. And it's probably not so bad going to Memphis, Tennessee in the middle of December instead of staying up in Green Bay or up in the north or in the Great Lakes region where it gets cold and there's some white stuff that falls down on there. So some great stuff there. Now, that Red Grange tour that we talked about earlier, you can find out more about that in a book that we recently helped Chris Willis on called Red Grange and the Chicago Bears, and 100th anniversary scrapbook of that great barnstorming tour of Red Grange. Great book. You can find it on pigskindispatch.com store on the front page of pigskindispatch.com. So till next time, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Sports History Network, where legends live on and the past plays loud.
Welcome to the place where history's proud, from gridiron glory to the hardwood stars, from the racetrack heat to Olympic bars. It's the voices, the stories, the moments you miss, told by fans and pros who live for this. Hook and Famic, the Sports History Network, where the past comes alive, podcasts and blogs that keep the flame high. From Babe to Brady, Alley to the Dome, if it's history and sports, then this is the home. SportsHistoryNetwork.com, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.